When he got home at 11:15, his sons were in bed and his wife sat awaiting him. She was a woman of medium height, fat and sleek, a dumpling. Her black hair was parted smooth, her narrow opened eyes were sly and satirical. She had a peculiar twang in her rather sleering voice. "Our missus is a puss-puss," he said easily of her. Her extraordinarily smooth, sleek face was remarkable. She was very healthy. He never came in drunk. Having taken off his coat and his cap, he sat down to supper in his shirt sleeves. Do as he might, she was fascinated by him. He had a strong neck, with the crisp hair growing low. Let her be angry as she would, yet she had a passion for that neck of his, particularly when she saw the great vein rib under the skin. "I think, missus," he said, "I'd rather a smite of cheese than this meat." "Well, can't you get it yourself?" "Yeah, surely I can," he said, and went out to the pantry. "I think if you're coming in at this time of night, you can wait on yourself," she justified herself. She moved uneasily in her chair. There were several jam tarts alongside the cheese on the dish he brought. "Ye, missus, them tantafflins'll go down very nicely," he said. "Oh, will they? Then you'd better help me to pay for them," she said amiably, but determined. "Now what art after?" "What am I after? Why, can't you think?" she said sarcastically. "I'm not for thinking, missus." "No, I know you're not. But where's my money? You've been paid the union today. Where do I come in?" "Thou's got money, and thou mun use it." "Thank you. And haven't you none as well?"
"I hadna, not till we was paid, not a halfpenny."
"Then you ought to be ashamed of yourself to say so."
"Happen so."
"We'll go shares wi' union money," she said. "That's nothing but what's right."
"We shonna, thou's got plenty of monies thou can use."
"Oh, all right," she said. "I will do."
She went to bed. It made her feel sharp that she could not get at him. The next day, she was just as usual, but at 11 o'clock she took her purse and went uptown. Trade was very slack. Men stood about in gangs. Men were playing marbles everywhere in the street. It was a sunny morning. Mrs. Radford went to the furnisher and upholsterer's shop. "There's a few things," she said to Mr. Alcock, "as I'm wanting for the house, and I might as well get them now while the men's at home and can shift me the furniture." She put her fat purse on the counter with a click. The man should know she was not wanting strap. She bought linoleum for the kitchen, a new wringer, a breakfast service, a sprung mattress, and various other things, keeping a mere 30 shillings, which she tied in a corner of her handkerchief. In her purse was some loose silver. Her husband was gardening in a desultory fashion when she got back home. The daffodils were out. The colts in the field at the end of the garden were tossing their velvety brown necks. "See thee here, missus," called Radford from the shed which stood halfway down the path. "What have you got?" asked the woman as she approached. He held out to her, in his big, earthy hand, a tortoise. The reptile was very, very slowly issuing its head again to the warmth. "He's wakened up betimes," said Radford. "He's like men. Wakened up for holiday," said the wife. Radford scratched the little beast's scaly head. "We're pleased to see him out," he said. They'd just finished dinner when a man knocked at the door. "From Alcock's," he said. The plump woman took up the clothes basket containing the crockery she'd bought. "Whatever has got there?" asked her husband. "We've been wanting some breakfast cups for ages, so I went uptown and got 'em this morning," she replied. He watched her taking out the crockery. "He said, "tha's been on't spend, seemly."